for the region, this is a dual reinforcing shock. It's a perfect storm.
In this program, the weight of COVID-19 on the economies of the Middle East and Central Asia, especially on the region's fragile and conflict-torn states.
I think it's very important to recognize that this crisis will hit more low-income countries, developing countries, than the rest of the world. I'm Jihad Azur, Director for Middle East and Central Asia Department at the International Monetary Fund.
And welcome to this podcast produced by the IMF. I'm Bruce Edwards. No region has been spared the economic devastation of the coronavirus pandemic, and with the high level of oil dependency and informality of many countries in the Middle East and Central Asia, Jihad Azur says the economic impact of COVID-19 has been dramatic. Azur heads the IMF's Middle East and Central Asia Department, which has just published the region's economic outlook that shows formidable challenges in the face of the pandemic. So what is it about the nature of this crisis that makes it harder for countries to deal with?
This crisis is like no other one before. It's a double shock that is reinforcing itself with the spreading of the coronavirus and its impact on the economy, as well as also the oil shock with the drop in demand and then the sudden decline in oil prices. All countries in the region were affected by this crisis, and most of them have been trying to cope with the COVID-19 shock by introducing certain number of measures to protect life and livelihood, and also to protect certain sectors in the economy. However, if we compare to the last 100 years, this is one of the most challenging moments in economic history for both Central Asia Caucasus, as well as also Middle East and North African countries.
And so what has been the impact on the economies of these necessary containment measures?
Well, the containment measures added to previous shocks has led gradually to shut down the economy. And this had a big impact on sectors that are job rich, like tourism, trade, as well as also other important sectors on the service side, which has complicated the management of this crisis, especially for countries where the level of informality is high.
And so the oil sector is a lifeline for many countries in the region. Will these countries be able to cope with this dramatic drop in oil prices that we're seeing?
Well, indeed, the oil sector is important for the oil-producing countries, but not only for them, also for the oil-importing ones. The oil-exporting ones will face the impact of the shock on their revenues as well as also on their fiscal situation. Countries who have already buffers, they can use them to mitigate some of the repercussions of the shock. Others have less buffers, and therefore for them, the economic management is going to be more complicated. But in addition to the oil exporting, the oil importing countries, given the level of remittances, capital flows, and investment coming from the oil producers, they will be also indirectly facing the impact of the drop in oil price.
And there are long-standing conflicts in the region that have resulted in masses of people on the move. Do you worry that this will further complicate the containment of the virus and perhaps even extend the economic fallout?
Of course, this is an additional complexity, especially given the limited infrastructure and the quality of health and healthcare protection in those countries affected by conflict or countries who are hosting a large number of refugees. This adds into the complexity of managing a crisis like that. And this is also something that would require special attention, especially for countries where the level of fragility is already high.
And many countries have also suffered huge outflows of investment capital. What is the impact of that? And do you believe that investors will return to the region once this pandemic subsides?
Countries of the region are active in the international capital markets, among the most active in the EM group. And therefore, the sudden outflow of capital that we saw in the last few weeks affected them equally or a bit less than what has happened in other EMs in the world. But of course, given the high level of debt and the amount of funding needed this year and next year, this will be a challenging moment for the EMs in general and also for the countries in the region.
So where will these countries find the resources they need to increase the spending on health and the social programs that will help them get through this crisis?
Well, let's say first that countries have moved fast in trying to address the implications of the coronavirus shock. And they have mobilized both in terms of additional spending as well as also other fiscal measures in order to cope with the challenges of this crisis. On average, more than 3.5% of GDP was spent to address that. And here the situation is different between countries. Countries who have high level of buffers, they can expand their spending. Others, they need to find other ways and means through reallocation of their budget envelope by reprioritizing some of their spending in order to give priority to healthcare and spending on other needs that will help them protect the life of their citizen.
And so what is the role of the international community in all of this?
Well, the role of the international community is very important. For example, the fund has moved very quickly in mobilizing international assistance through the form of rapid facilities, and several countries in the region have benefited from that. In addition, the fund has also extended the grant support for low-income countries who are facing the issue of debt and debt payment. The G20 has also took some steps. I think it's very important to recognize that this crisis will hit more low-income countries, developing countries, than the rest of the world, and their special attention need to be put in order to help those countries cope with the multiple repercussions of the shocks and also help them very quickly restore and repair their economies.
Thank you, Jihad, for your insight into how the economics of this pandemic is playing out in the Middle East and Central Asia.
Thank you, Bruce.
Jihad Azur is director of the IMF's Middle East and Central Asia Department. You'll find the latest economic outlook for the region at imf.org. Look for other IMF podcasts wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at IMF_podcast. Thanks for listening.